So, I want to start, I want to continue tonight on this issue of Avodah Zarah, but this time instead of concentrating on the practices, I want to concentrate on a topic that you've discussed many times in the past, but there's always room for something new, and that is the actual issue of superstition itself. And in other words, what does Darkei HaMori mean when it refers to superstition? How seriously are these prohibitions enforced? And what's the borderline between superstition and religion, which is a difficult task? Let me remind you that there is, my copy has fallen apart, so I'll go out and get a new one, but let me remind you that there's an excellent book on the subject, which was published 60 some odd years ago and has not been improved upon in the last 60 years. And it's still available as far as I know.
Got a modern cover.
I don't think it's too modern. All right.
Why is it associated with them only rather than the other six nations?
I don't know. Good question. All right. Let's start. This is a painful topic because, first of all, the opinions are divided on practices are divided, and as Rabbi Trachtenberg points out, there's been a huge history of coping or surrendering to various kinds of superstitions amongst different parts of the Jewish community. Let's start with something that may be a little bit ambivalent. Well, not ambivalent halachically, but ambivalent philosophically. Let's start with the Tshuva of the Radvaz that's in the handout from last time. So I'm going to the, how do you find this, because I didn't number the pages. This is the Tshuva of the Radvaz that occurs after the Tshuva of the Ma'arik that we studied last time. So it's 14 pages from the front. Okay. She'ela. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu al inyan ha-she'ela b'sheidin. Eze derech mutar ve'eze derech asu. To what extent is it permissible to inquire from the demons?
The Gemara acknowledges
demons. The Gemara acknowledges demons. A straightforward reading of the biblical text seems to indicate demons. Shmuel, the story of Shaul, and the Witch of Endor seems to indicate some possibilities of magic. The two heroes in the Halacha who stood up and condemned all of this as complete nonsense was the Rambam and the Meiri. You have two people who are willing to say that demons don't exist and belief in demons is just sheer abject superstition. But this is not, unfortunately, the majority view. But the Torah prohibits, even assuming that demons exist, the Torah prohibits dealing with them.
What do we call demons? Just Rebbe just mentioned Shaul. He was asking for the.
Yeah, that wasn't a demon. That was just simply necromancy.
Yeah.
Okay.
The dead,
so. Yeah. Right. Raising the dead. Okay.
Without being considered.
That's not a demon, but it's certainly Darkei HaMori. It certainly should be prohibited, presumably. But does it exist? According to the Rambam, you're not able to talk to the dead. And you're not able, there's no such thing as communicating with dead spirits. Right? I mean, people have had the view that one can. And there's a great big building not far from my office building named after a very distinguished professor at Harvard, still regarded as the greatest of American philosophers, who William James, who believed in the existence of spiritualism. What can you do? People get a joke. And so therefore, it doesn't disqualify you at Harvard University either to believe in being sexually molested by extraterrestrials. We have a current professor in the medical school who's treating patients for that. And or William James believing in spiritualism. So we should not be swayed by positions. But halakhically, it's prohibited, right? And now, whether you believe in them or not, the question is, what kind of procedures are you going to allow? She'ela, yilamdeinu rabbeinu al inyan ha-she'ela v'sheidim, eze derech mutar ve'eze derech asur. Ki rabim parzu gidra shel Torah, umaktirim l'sheidim. Not only do they, ve'omrim she'ein kavanatam la'avdam, their intent is not to worship the demons, adarabah, la'kufotam, to compel them, u'lahachricham la'asot v'tzonam, to compel the demons to do their will. Remember, in the Arabic tradition, you also had the problem of being able to control a jinn, right? So the jinns existed as much for the Islamic culture as the fairies and goblins existed for the European culture. Im yesh bazet sad heter. כי שמעתי כי קטרו לשם בפני אחד מגדולי הדור ולא מחד ידם. תשובה, that's the question. Bread and sense.
Oh, katru, okay, cook has.
Right. Yeah. תשובה, אני לא אאמין שנעשה דבר כזה מפני תלמיד חכם ושתק. I cannot believe that an act like this was performed in front of the תלמיד חכם and he remained silent. כי המקטר לשדים, someone who burns incense to demons, לחברם ולקצבם, חייב מיתה. Gather them together and bring them into a group, it is liable, or it's a capital offense, he's liable to death. ומיתתו בסקילה, אם היו שם עדים בהתראה. ותנן בפרק הבא מיתות עדים, בעל אוב זה פתאום המדבר משחיו, וידעו מי המדבר בפיו, הרי אלו בסקילה, והנשאל בהם בעזרה, ופרק בגמר מה שנחוך ודקטני בעל אוב ידעו מי מה שנגע בקריטות דכתיב בעל אוב ושיירה, ידעו מי מסיק אלו דבעל אוב דקטני בקריטות ומקטר לשד, במודו ברבנן, ופרש רשי שמקטר לפני השד הממונה עלו תודה ועלה המעשה גמור. ופרח אמר לרוח המקטר לשבין המובד יעוד הזרעו. פירוש פרקטני להותם בהד יעל אמר עבור מקטר לחבר, אפילו פרש כי אין מקטר לשם אלוהות, אלא על ידי הקטרה נעשה הקישוף לחבר השדים לכאן. To bring them together. אמר להבי מקטר לחבר חובר חברו, פירוש ואינו אלא בלב, ומשני אין התורה אמרה חובר זה בסקילה, ופירוש רשי מאחר שמחבר את השדים במזיד, אמרה תורה שיהיה בסקילה, וכל שבזידונו בסקילה, על שירגו מביא כוון עד כאן. הרי לך מפורש מן הסוגיה, שהמקטר לשדים לחברם ולקצבם ולקבצם, או לקוף אותם שיעשו בקשתו, הרי הוא בכלל בעל עול ומיתתו בסקילה. וזה לשון בעל הנתיבות, המקטר לשד, הביא עובד עבודת כוכבים, ואפילו אינו מקטר לשם עבודה, אלא לחבר, הביא בסקילה. וכתב הרמזל, דנאיה שם אינן דמקטר לשד לחברו ולקופו לעשות רצונו, חייב משום בעלו. עד כאן.
What was the purpose of
the
keyboard?
To gather them together, to compel them to do your will. No. You want to use them. You want to do them, you want to perform white magic. Or black magic.
And we know what a shade is.
It's a demon. It's a jinn. You've never seen one? Well, if you haven't seen one, I can't describe it. How do you describe an elephant? Right. Okay. Ugdolam azu katav, nashim hamakatrot, something, habayit ba'esev shemeriach ha'yachtov, katav ha'ash bazal sha'asur b'mpnei shemir'ot kimakatrot l'shei. To even burn any kind of incense in the house is prohibited because you're suspected of actually burning them. Aval im osot lahasir reach ra'a mutar. But if it's done as a fumigant, it's permissible.
So these marijuana burners
are permissible.
No, not because for whatever reason, when they sit around with marijuana or smoking or something,
it's not to attract
they
demons.
They have these candles they burn for.
Well, it's just to get you the odor of marijuana, right? It's not to not for the sake of it. There's an explicit, obvious, or other purpose. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you're using it as fumigation or using it because you want to get high. That's whatever. I'm not saying that you're allowed to smoke marijuana or that you should get high. All I'm saying is that burning incense in order to get high is no different, to my mind, than burning incense in order to remove a foul odor. As far as the law of Kitur L'Shedim is concerned.
I'm thinking in terms of incense for, because they want to get a certain atmosphere and that perhaps boils.
Well, you know more about it than
I know. I've been smoking cigars. I read about it.
But I simply don't know. Okay. Ve'ein hefresh bein im haktarat u'reach tov u'reach ra, haktoret u'reach tov u'reach ra, kevan she'oseken l'chaber u'lekabet shedim o l'kuf otam she'yasu ritzono hakol b'klal ov v'chayav skila. V'hanish'al b'hem ba'azhara. And furthermore, if you request information about them, it's a prohibitive problem. L'madu mikan, the dafka of a makatel a chaberat hashedim who buklal bal ol, ava mahamakatel a havriach hashedim yarav nirad muta. But if you want to scare them away, if you have a particular bad odor which the demons find offensive and therefore will move away, perhaps that he says is permissible.
How would that be like the motive?
It's just to chase them away from you. You're not interested in them at all. You want to keep them away from your house.
That shows that he accepts the fact that they exist.
Oh, he accepts the fact that we exist. Let's see that.
If you chase them away, that means that they were there.
Oh, yeah, he believes it. We'll come to that. There's no question that the Radvaz believes in the existence of demons. But you're not allowed to have any commerce with them. If you want to chase them away from the house, he says that's fine. But to gather them in together or to ask their opinion about something, to try to figure out the future using them, that's prohibited. But even to chase them away, even burning the incense in order to evict the demons is a religious person should refrain from this. The man muchach im hulahar. Someone at the door? Oh, good. The Af Bazer, we're discussing the attitude towards demons, and at the moment we're in the middle of reading a tshuva of the Radvaz, who is horrified by the fact that some group of people seem to have engaged in burning incense, and even perhaps burning incense to attract the demons in order to have them. When he says that this is particularly impermissible, and even to burn incense to chase them away would be impermissible. The man muchach umu lahavriach otam o lachavram. Who can tell? A stranger will not be able to tell if you're burning this incense to get rid of the demons or to gather them in. Right? I mean, sometimes we have these things that we burn to attract the insects, and they fly into the fire and burn themselves up, and we have other types of citronella or what have you to chase them away. Uvoreach haktorah, ein lahochiach, and you can't tell from the odor of the incense itself. Ki yesh shemaktirim lehem reach tov, yesh shemaktirim be'erem reach ra. Some people use a foul-smelling substance to attract the demons, and some people use a good-smelling substance. Ve'lo gara min Hashem ha-makatrot et ha-bayit she'oso oseh ha-rashpa mepnei shenir'ot kematrot l'shem. For that same reason, the Rashba prohibited the burning of incense in the house, even though it was a not, it was for a fumigating purpose, because it gives the appearance that they were doing it to attract demons. But to burn frankincense in the house in the time of a plague, Kamosha anu no hagim, mutar de ma'asav mochichina. We do that to fumigate the house to eliminate disease. Here everyone knows that it's being done for the specific medical purpose, and therefore no one suspects you of having any truck with demons. Umikan atalamed sheyesh limnoa et anashim hamakatrot et ha'echal kol shekenu makatrot bilvona halamad sheyesh shlosha minei ketoret. There are three types of incense. L'kabetz et ha'shedim ulukofam, to cause the demons to gather and compel them to do your wishes, chayav nita, that's a capital offense. L'havricham or liktor et ha'bayit stam, or anashim ha'makatrot et ha'echal, patur avol asur. Simply to burn incense to get rid of the demons should be prohibited, because people will not be able to tell whether you're doing it to chase them away or to attract them. Lahaktir, lahavir reach ra'ah. If you're burning this incense to remove a foul odor, o lahavir ipusha avir, or to purify the air, bisman hadever, rachman al litzalan, in the case of a plague, to hareze muta. Uleinyan she'elav shedim, on the question of inquiring amongst demons, belokitu, without actually performing any act that has a semblance of a sacrificial act, but simply asking demons for their opinion, yesh machlokit b'poskim. On this, there's a difference of opinion amongst the authorities. Shaharamazal katab de ma'aseh shedim harem b'klal ma'aseh kshachim, that dealing with demons is akin to dealing with magic. It's black magic. V'chein katrub tzat me'poskim. V'arashzal katab de'ein ma'aseh shedim b'klal ma'aseh kshachim. The Rush says that dealing with demons is not necessarily the same as black magic. There is, the laws of demonology are as complicated as the laws of Shabbat. Some acts are capital offenses, some acts are prohibited, and some acts are permissible. Hosema aseh b'skila, someone who performs an act is liable for a death penalty. Ha'okezet ha'inayim patur aval asur, someone who's a conjurer is prohibited, but not but there's no capital offense. Muta lachatkila kiravchin ravoshia devi asku kol maliyomi the shapna vetsefet yitzira, like Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehoshua, who every Friday used to work with the sefer yitzira. Ibrulu eglat litaho va'achula, they created a calf and ate it. V'katav ha'arashzal yirad kiravchin the cave under Rabchia be'aba v'abayi v'hershulon u'mahim ma'asei shedim u'mahim ma'asei kshafim shedatav maskemet she'ma'asei shedim eino b'kval kshafim u'mitarim v'hein b'kval urdad Rabbi Chanin and Rabbi Yoshia, that dealing with demons is not identical with black magic and it is permissible. V'ani shamati v'lo avin kavanato, I've listened to what he says and I can't understand it at all. How is it possible that these great men could deal with the demons every Friday afternoon or every Friday? Then they would eat the Shabbos evening shalant or what have you from stuff that they created via demons. It says explicitly that they were dealing with the Sefer Yetzirah. Uven sheyir peirush Sefer Yetzirah hanimtza etzleinu, shehu amiyuchas la'Abraham avinu. Whether or not you believe that the Sefer Yetzirah that we have is the one that we have in our possession, which is attributed all the way back to Abraham Avinu. It's impossible, he says, to believe that the Rosh can be right and that they were actually dealing with demons. The Radvaz is criticizing the Rosh. By the way, as a side issue, I don't remember if I pointed this out, but the Sefer Yetzirah that he says that we have attributed all the way back to Abraham Avinu, and even Rav Saadia Gaon seems to have attributed, wrote a perush on it, and therefore it has seems to be an antiquity.
What is the Sefer Yetzirah?
The Sefer Yetzirah is a book, a Kabbalistic book, which we have. It starts out with the statement that there are 32 of holy paths or magical paths. Now, of these 32, 22 are the letters of the alphabet, and 10 are the Sfirot. This is the opening phrase of the Sefer Yetzirah. Esosphere. Now, on this, Professor Pinas made the following, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but he made the following very elementary observation, which is so obvious that once you hear it, you can't possibly say, why didn't I think of this myself? 22 letters, we understand, because if you combine all the various letters, you can get the most general word, and if you believe in the magic of words, then you can create anything out of the 22 letters. What are the Esser Sefirot? Okay. Where do you have 10 numbers?
Arabic.
The Arabic numerals. In other words, just as you can combine any word out of the 10 digits, you can make any number by combining the Arabic numerals. Because Arabic numerals are Indian numerals. And they came into existence in this whole society around the 7th or 8th century. Therefore, you have an obvious maximum earliest possible date. It could not have been written, this book could not have been composed before the acceptance of the Arabic numeral system. It's such an obvious...
They existed in India,
It existed before, but it was not part of this culture at all, so it could not have been brought in, right? I mean, the Rav Saadia Gaon in his Perush on the Esser Sefirot mentions Al-Hishav Al-Hindi, the Indian mode of writing numbers, but it therefore is obvious that whatever the Sefer Yetzirah is, it could not have been predated the 7th or the 8th century. Midrash mentions something, and the Radvaz mentions the Sefer Yetzirah, and this is the Radvaz already questions whether this could be the Sefer Yetzirah that he has in his possession, which is the same as the Sefer Yetzirah that we have. And we now know, because of Professor Pinas's very elementary argument, that we can resolve the Radvaz's doubt as to it certainly could not have been the Sefer Yetzirah that we currently have. Ours is something which had to come after the existence of what are known as Arabic numerals. All right?
Some holy man who's revered has come out with the last 7 or 8 lottery winners in Thailand, and the whole population is running to them to get the numbers on.
Right. No.
I have quotes.
Okay. The codes have the OU's Hefsher now, so I'm not allowed to say anything against them. But, okay. All right. Let's skip a little bit. to the next page. At any rate, the Radvaz has no toleration for this. Shuv matzati b'me'iri, I also found in the Me'iri, shekhtav v'zelashono. This is the page 3 of the, yeah. Ve'elu shema'aminim b'metziyat ha'sheidim u'pu'ulateihem, those who believe in the existence of demons and their activities, asur lehem l'shol behem af b'chol. They are not allowed to make any inquiries about demons even during the week. Some of the superstitions are so stupid that nobody would even be attracted by them. V'zeh maskim al ma shekatavnu, and this agrees with what we were attributing and trying to reinterpret the Rosh. Okay. Haklal ha'olem midvarai elu, she'ishun oktoret ein derech lahatiram klal. To burn incense, to compel the demons to do your will, is not to be permitted at all. Va'osekein chayav mita. And someone who burns incense to compel the demons to do his will has committed a capital offense. Bahanish'al, skila. Bahanish'al, and if someone inquires of the demons in order to be able to predict the future or what have you, he is violating a law. Bahafilu shelo ayedek toret ein mutar, Ella sarei shemen v'sarei bitzim v'sarei boyin al yedei hashpa'at shemot ha-kodesh v'yarei shamayim mitrachek afilu mizeh kevin shu machloket v'davah sheyesh shemetz avodah zara. Since any type of, even with these so-called permissible demons, which according to the Miri no one believes in anyway, it's a superstition which is harmless, even that has this a scent of avodah zara, sheyavo l'mashek achreihem. Okay, so you think that this is the end of the chew. But then he has to add an apology. V'lo tachshedeni, you should not accuse me or suspect me, mepnei shekatavti lashon ha-me'iri, because I quoted the Me'iri, sha'ani makhish mitziyot ha-shedim. That just because I quoted the Me'iri, I'm a rationalist and don't believe in the existence of demons. Ki ani ma'amin b'chol divrei chazal. After all, I believe in all of what it says, what the sages said. Afilu sicha kala shelahem. Kol shekein ha-shehaktuvim shateihem morim ha-metziyutam. The simplest interpretation of the scriptures would seem to indicate that demons exist. V'lo yizvachu od et zivrehem la-seirim, etc. Yizvachu la-sheid la-sheidim, lo eloha, etc., etc. So that therefore, says the Me'iri, you're not allowed to deal with them, but don't accuse me of being a rationalist and not believing in their existence. Okay. Now, as I said...
His coda is unconvincing. His coda is, it's a little unconvincing.
Is that he doesn't believe
in,
that he does believe in
Shaitan? Yeah, it's sort of like, well, I'm not attacking Chazal's belief in him here. I don't want to get drawn into that debate.
Well, it may be that you can give him that interpretation, or you just read him straight out. I mean, it
you could go on with, I think, the general. So what is the result of that? I mean, what is the
what
consequence?
He
said, well, what is he saying? I don't get it. That they do not exist?
He says that you're not allowed to have any dealings with them. You shouldn't burn incense to them. You shouldn't consult with them. Even the ones that might, so to speak, be permissible, none of that is allowed. However, don't conclude from this that I'm a rationalist and don't believe in their existence.
Because he's fearful of negating everything the Chazal.
Yeah.
No, he wants to prove everything that Chazal ever said. We had these discussions
before. Right, right. He is not... You might say, as Mr. Kahan says, that we are... that he's trying just to protect his back. That he doesn't want to get into this debate. Most people interpret him as simply meaning what he says. But that
the vast, that the only Rishonim that we have who quite clearly say that the Shadim don't exist to us is the Rambam and the Meir. And you remember, we've quoted it many times, I won't repeat it now, the famous attack by the Vilna Gaon on the Rambam, who says that the Rambam was seduced by philosophy into not believing in the existence of demons.
Did he have
anything about the Meir? I don't think so. Now, to get a view of the opposite opinion,
How did the Vilna Gaon, I mean, the most brilliant man in the last 500 years, how did he justify this feeling about the great sources?
There's no shortage of sources. He, like everybody else in the medieval period, and he was isolated in Vilna in that period, believed in the existence of demons. The fact of the matter is that throughout a huge chunk of Jewish history, people believed in demons. That's what Trachtenberg points out in his book. To give you a startling illustration of this, let me read two things from the Ramban. I'll read the tshuva of the Ramban, and we'll reread some of the commentary of the Ramban on the top. Some Sofer, I don't think, believe too much in demons, but let's look. Okay. There are some things from the Chasam Sofer, if you like, we can go into them, but I want to concentrate at the moment on the Rishonim today, and then on some of the Sephardic Achronim. מה שנוהגין שאין נושאים נשים עד מילוי הלבנה באלו ארצות. אינו ניחוש. The fact that we don't get married until the moon is full in these lands. אלא כשם שמושכים המלכים על המעיין ותימשך מלכותו, כך עושים במילוי ולא בחיסרון. We have weddings when the moon is getting full and not when it's declining. וסימן הטבל. It's a simply a good sign, maybe as harmless or maybe not as harmless as our saying Mazel Tov. Uvkederach shemoshkin yayin b'tzinoret b'tzinorot l'pnei hatanin v'ein bo mishum darkei amori. Uma she'amru ein sho'olim b'kaldiyim davor baruhu mishmaita l'perk mishehekshich she'hein ba'alei mazalot hachozim b'kochavim k'divrei ba'al ha'aruch. You're not allowed to consult astrologers. והלשון עצמו ידוע שהם הקסטיים הקדמונים, the ancient Chaldeans, הנקרין סלדיביס, or Chaldeans, I guess, נזבן, or in קרלן, ולשון חכמי הגויים, והם שהתעסקו תחילה במזלות. They began the study of the constellations, וכתבו באותו חכמה ספרים, ובוודאי משמע שאין ההצטגניות בכלל ניחוש, that this cannot be counted as magic, as consulting an astrologer, because the Gemara asks, where do we learn the prohibition from? That you become wealth depends upon your sign. The sign of your constellation, and that Jews have the constellations affect the future of the Jews. That simply consulting an astrologer does not fall under the prohibition of lo tenachashu. Those who are guilty of illicit consultation of the stars, lo beitztagninut kama. This is not talking about astrology. Umehi ha'ish ma'ite b'perak mishech shech nami mashmo demutar l'shmo lehem ulahamin divrehem. It is permissible to listen to the astrologers and to believe in what they say. Me Avraham sha'amar nistakalti beitztagninut. Right? Avraham said that I consulted my astrologer. Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Daig, Anulted about a Tuva, who was concerned about the signs of his daughter, Uliachash and Nitzla, the Rash Mishun Staka, Nitzlami Mitamamash. That just because of my contribution to charity, my daughter was saved from her bad astrological sign. Shmamene Ma'amin Hayabahem, etc., etc. So he goes through a whole lengthy discussion justifying astrology. Rambam katav shekol ha'osel ma'aseh mepnei hatzedniyot v'kivan molachto alichato ve'et shekavu chilcho brei shamayim harei zeh lokeh mishum lo ta'oninu. Anyone who listens to his astrologers and plans his day, like what Mrs. Reagan, President of the United States, had his day scheduled according to the astrologer, according to the Rambam, this violates lo ta'oninu. Ve'od ha'erech lomar shedivrei hevel ushtutei. The Rambam also goes ahead and says that it's all nonsense. So anyone who believes them is like a woman or a fool or a commoner. But the evidence of the entire Talmud is against etc. So the Ramban believes in astrology, like most Jewish scholars. In fact, again, only the philosophers, and mainly the Rambam at their lead, were the ones that believed that astrology was complete and utter nonsense. And some of the most famous astrologers, like the Ralbag, believed in astrological science. He thought that it was an actual scientific activity. Much as, for most of the 20th century, people believed that Freudian psychiatry was some form of science. I'm glad to say that one of the great books of the 20th century, I really recommend this book. I think no words of praise, higher praise that I can give for any book than this new book by Wilson. Deals with, I don't know if you've seen this, but this is, well, this is one of the great books. If I had to pick, excuse me for just a second, is that my call?
Yes.
Okay, now, furthermore, let me finish this tshuva of the Ramban. Okay, so with the exception of the Rambam amongst the Jewish halachic authorities, I know that Tzvi wrote a long article on the Rambam's attitude towards astrology
some time ago,
but I think the position of the Rambam is more ideological. Tzvi insists that it was because of his religious position that he felt that the Rambam could not tolerate conflict that astrology presents with free will. But I think that the evidence goes much further than that, that he just didn't believe in it because that part of this whole general perspective of rationalism was against the belief.
Isn't
in
astrology. Our calendar based, our whole calendar is based on astrology, no?
Which calendar?
On the Jewish calendar. In terms of that, at 6 o'clock is the Mass and you know, each hour is a different...
What you're talking about is an interesting Rashi, which we studied many times in the past, which says that the names of our days of the week are, but that's the English days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
exactly,
Thursday, Friday. It's based on three things. It's based on the fact that each constellation rules over a specific hour, and it's also based on when the count began, which was with 6 o'clock Wednesday evening and so on. Okay, but Umasha Amar, I'm still reading from the Ramban, Umasha Amar She'ein Sho'alin Davar Min HaShedim Yesh Lomar She'kshafim Ne'asru B'Torah Ba'oseh Ma'aseh V'chein Ba'alei Ov V'kulam B'mita. All of this is referring about a specific act like burning incense. Aval HaNish'al B'hem B'Ba'alei Ov Ba'azara U'B'Sha'al M'kashvim Mutar. That is not prohibited to ask a question of a shade.
Only if it's an oath.
Oh, hmm? Only if it's a Baal O. V'sho'er lo k'tibbe hilkach k'tiyah m'shach ha'sheik Yisrael ha'sho'er bo enu mishum elo mishum tamim tihiyeh k'kaldiyim. V'ha'iti b'tosefta b'msechat Shabbat yosah acher lo chashin ala ayin v'ha nachash v'ha lakwa b'shabbas v'ein lo chashin b'dvar shedim. Rabbi Yossi amir ha'pacholim lo chashin b'dvar shedim ul'fizeh enu elo l'lchosh l'hashbiya shedim l'tzeit min ha'ish k'derach Baal Tavion, to engage in exorcism. Rabbi Yossi Osea Shema Yaziko Tokishim Otsino Tobal Kochol Vachin Kiyotsevose. Umasha Amar Sarai Shemen Mutarim Nishim Hazvin Zui Agyosan of Anom, Shaim Mashpa'a, Shaim Sakhim of Neyadam, Hazvin Behem Balag, Venu Bukhal Shiko Kishufla. For Anita Mama O, I'm astonished by all of this, writes the Ramban. Kishamati Bavilu, because I have definitely heard Shemin Hag. Alemanio, that the German, that is the Jews of Germany, la'asof v'divrei ha'sheidim, to have dealings with demons. U'mashbi'im otam, they force the demons to swear oaths for them. U'mashalkin otam, and they send them. U'mashlamshim behem b'kama imyonim, and they utilize them for various purposes. The savur ani. So he's saying that he has heard that in Germany the tradition is to actually engage demons in your daily purposes. The savur ani sheyesh lomar the maaseh shedim luchud u'maaseh kshafim luchud. That there's a difference between dealing with demons and dealing in magic. K'mo she'amru b'la'atayhem elu maaseh shedim b'la'atayhem elu maaseh kshafim. U'perish Rashi zal maaseh kshafim alibay maaseh tachbulahim maasim. It is permissible to engage in the activity of demons. And they actually engaged in acts, therefore. So he says that he heard that the activity amongst the Jews in Germany was to actually engage in the usage of Shedim, and the evidence from the Gemara is tends in that direction. That it's permissible to force a demon to obey your will, says the Rambam.
Do they ever define what they mean by demon?
All right. I will read to you what the Ramban has to say. I'll read to you in Chabel's English translation. This is from Achrei Mot. This is the Ramban.
What was the difference?
Well, you saw that he mentions the problem of exorcism.
Yeah.
So even the Ramban was aware of the possibility that a demon can take possession of a person and therefore becomes dangerous. Maybe he saw the movie, I don't know. But the...
Was that in Prague? Did they have
the
golem? That's the golem. The word Dybbuk itself occurs, the earliest mention of it is in a book around the beginning of the 17th century, 1602. And it became popular around then, but already it existed as we see in the Tshuva of Rambam. Now let's see. And they shall no more sacrifice their sacrifices la'se'irim, to after whom they go astray. I'm reading now Chavel's translation of Ramban's commentary to Lo Yuzbechu Ode la'se'irim. La'se'irim means unto the demons. Similarly, it states, u'se'irim, and demons shall dance there. This is Rashi's language derived from the Torah of Kohanim. Now Rabbi Avraham ibn Ezra wrote that demons are so called se'irim, a word which is connected with the sa'ar, se'ar meaning hair, because on seeing them a person's hair stands up on his body. But it is likely that they are called se'irim, a word which also means goats, because mentally deranged persons see them in the form of goats. And the word more in the verse before us, and they shall no more sacrifice, indicates that the Israelites used to do so in Egypt. After whom they go astray denotes that whoever seeks after them and believes them goes astray from God because he thinks there is power that can cause good or evil apart from the glorious and fearful name. That's Ramban quoting the Ibn Ezra, which is again the rationalist
position. Ibn Ezra, like the Rambam, did not believe in the existence of demons, and if someone saw a demon, that was a sign of mental disturbance, mental illness. Now, Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra has indeed hinted at the truth concerning the word more, as I have written above. In other words, lo yizbuku ol el asirim means that that must have been an ancient practice. The name Seirim will also be made clear to you there. They are also called Shedim, demons, as Rashi interpreted here, a word which is connected with Shodad, meaning devastate, despoil, ruin, because they dwell in devastated places, such as the desert, and their principal habitat is the far corners of the earth, such as the modern northern extremity of the earth, which is wasteland on account of the cold climate. Know that just as the formation at the original, now comes your question. What is the constitution? What is their constitution? Know that just as the formation at the original creation of man's body, as well as that of all living creatures, vegetation, and minerals, was from the four elements, which were combined by divine power to form material bodies, which as a result of their thickness and coarseness could be perceived by the five senses, even so there was a creation from only two elements, fire and air, resulting in a body which cannot be felt nor perceived by any of the five senses, just as the soul of an animal cannot be perceived by human senses because of its delicacy. The body of these creatures of two elements is of a spiritual nature. On account of its delicacy and lightness, it can fly through fire and air. And just as the combination of the four elements in any object is the cause of its existence and its destruction, so it is with these beings created from a combination of only two elements. When the elements combine, the creature lives, and when they separate or decompose, it is like